And call the meeting to order and welcome everyone again to Oceanside.
It's been pretty brutal.
And it's has another late night last night, so bear with us and we'll do the best we can here today and appreciate all the commitment by staff and all the late hours and everything. So with that, clerk, call the roll, please.
Commissioner Ashajian?
Here.
Commissioner Blank?
Here.
Commissioner Burke?
Yes.
Commissioner Wesel?
Here.
Commissioner Neely?
Yes.
Commissioner Potter?
Here.
Commissioner Riley?
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger?
Here.
Commissioner Wan?
Here.
Chairman Kruer?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay. With that, then I'll go back to Director.
We're going to go through the changes on the agenda.
Okay. We're going to go through the changes on the agenda and the procedures for today's hearing. Mr. Merrill, will you cover that?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. There's just two changes to report on Agenda Page 15, Item 5A, the appeal of the Mendocino Land Trust project was postponed as marked on the final agenda. And then the other change is on Page 16, Item 7A, the Permit Amendment 1-85-14A, Ritchie, that's moving to consent. And I'd just like to announce to the public that if they wish to address the commission today, they'll need to fill out one of the speaker slips that's on the table at the entrance to the room and hand that to a staff member. The table also contains addenda for today's item and staff reports in a binder that you may peruse there if you wish. And finally, I'd just like to remind everyone to please turn off their cell phones.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we trailed the statewide reports, and I think since we don't have a tomorrow to work with, let's just get those done now. We do have minutes to approve, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay. Well, we do have a set of minutes to approve.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Schellenberger, seconded by Commissioner Wesel. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the minutes are approved.
Okay, then we have commissioners' reports. Any reports by commissioners? Not conservancy?
I think they're so tired. They're tired. That's the report.
Then conservancy report. Okay. Nothing special to report there. Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy? No, no report there. Deputy Attorney General's report? I think he's said enough
yes.
This meeting.
No.
Peter, thank you.
What's your latest book?
Mr. ED, oh yes. Latinos in Lotus Land, yes. It's, it's on sale, Amazon.com and DanielOlivas.com. Good morning, Commissioners. We have two items to report for the Deputy Attorney General's report. The first case is McNamee versus California Coastal Commission. Petitioners constructed numerous unpermitted structures on lower bluff and sand on their property adjacent to Corona del Mar State Beach. After referral from the City of Newport Beach, the Coastal Commission issued a C&D order. The Commission voluntarily stayed the cease and desist order to allow the petitioners to submit a permit application. Petitioners submitted a permit application and the commission denied it based on various inconsistencies with the coastline policies. Petitioners filed separate petitions for a mandate challenging the issuance of the cease and desist order and denial of the permit. Petitioners primarily argued that the structures were pre-coastal and therefore vested, that the commission lacked substantial evidence to support the C&D order and denial of the permit, that the commission failed to provide a fair hearing, and that the commission violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. On July 23rd, the court ruled in the commission's favor on each of these issues, denying both petitions for writ of mandate. And the assigned attorney is Deputy Attorney General Mark Lucebrink, and Mark Lucebrink is a new attorney in our office who has left private practice to fight the good fight, and we're very proud of his work. The second case is Electric Point versus City of LA and California Coastal Commission. Electric Point filed this lawsuit against the City of Los Angeles and the Coastal Commission arising from the city's denial of petitioner's permit application to vacate a public right-of-way that abuts petitioner's business properties on Venice Boulevard, and the Coastal Commission's subsequent decision to decline appellate jurisdiction, thus allowing the city's decision to stand. The public right-of-way had been a special condition to a 1990 permit issued by the commission to Caltrans. Caltrans subsequently transferred fee title to the city. Electric Point's primary argument was that the vacation of public easements will not rise to development as defined by Section 30106 of the Coastal Act. At the writ hearing held on July 28th, the court denied the writ in its entirety. The court agreed with the Coastal Commission's arguments and ruled that the petitioner's proposed vacation of the right-of-way constitutes development under the Coastal Act and that substantial evidence supported the Commission's decision. And I was the attorney assigned to that case, and that concludes our report. Thank you.
Yes, and we thank Mr. Olivas for his continuing great work. That decision was actually significant because we are seeing a number of proposals to vacate public streets, and this makes it clear that that is a development that the Coastal Commission will have to review. So that was a good win there, Daniel. My report is, I have nothing new to report in terms of the budget. As you know, we're still in stalemate. We are, as we have reported, losing staff who are finding other work, leaving in anticipation of the cuts that have been proposed. We've had no indication that that's going to change. We're hoping it is. A lot of people are providing input in terms of making it clear what the consequences are going to be if, in fact, at the end of the day, we have to lay off those 25 positions. But in the meantime, as we had predicted and anticipated, people are leaving because they don't know what their future is going to be in terms of employment. And that's very unfortunate. As you heard from Jack yesterday, we're down from 8 planners to 3 in the Ventura office. And that's repeated in every office. In terms of the whale tail issue, nothing new to report there, unless Ms. Schmelzer has something new. But as we had indicated to the Commission last time, we are proceeding with a contest to look for a replacement image, whale tail image, to replace the current image on the whale tail license plate. I handed out a brief summary of what we're proposing to do. I think that'll be really exciting. We have a lot of interest in this. This is going to be a real challenge. And a lot of artists, international, from all over, have proposed letting us use their whale tail image for free. And since we had so many proposals, including from schools, art programs, we felt that having a contest not only will give great visibility to the program, but I think it'll make it exciting. And we'll have to figure out who the panel of judges are going to be at the end. We're going to narrow them down and then have the panel of judges deal with a finite number, maybe a dozen or so finalists. But I think it's going to be an exciting undertaking. And so that's the direction in which we intend to go. And we've been working with the Department of Motor Vehicles. They've been very helpful in terms of making the transition easy. And they have indicated that the cost for the change is going to be minimal, which is good news. We thought that was going to be a high-cost undertaking. But in any event, that's kind of the silver lining of this unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in. So I'll give you a status report as soon as we finalize the notice that we're going to send out to encourage people to submit their proposed images. So then I have an interagency agreement. These are federal funds that the Commission passes through to the San Francisco Bay Commission. We do this every year since we are the Central Coastal Management Agency for California. So I'd ask for your approval for the transfer of these funds through to the San Francisco Bay Commission.
Moved by Commissioner Riley and seconded by Commissioner Schallenberger. Any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves it.
All right, and I have nothing new to report on legislation. The Half Moon Bay bill is still in limbo. As you know, it missed its deadlines. It's in the Rules Committee of the Senate, so the Policy Committee deadlines are over, and we just have no clue what's happening with that. It just kind of went into a dark limbo land. But we'll let you know if anything changes. We're coming up to the end of the session, and it's going to be, they're running out of time. So nothing else to report on legislation, and I think that means we can go to the Friday agenda. Okay. And go with the North Coast Deputy Director's report.
Let's do that.
Thank you, Peter. I just like to note that there are several handouts. We distributed the packet last night to the hotel and to a couple of you this morning. If you didn't get that, I have some extras I can give you, so just raise your hand or let me know. But what it includes is the pink addendum with immaterial amendments, waivers. There's a separate staff addendum on the item 6A, the JHP subdivision project, individual letter from Caltrans on that project, and a staff addendum for item 6B, which is the City of Arcata application. I would just note that, of course, next month you'll be coming up to Eureka, to the North Coast, and we look forward to hosting you up there. We understand that the Greater Eureka Chamber of Commerce, once again, will be putting on a reception for the commission. And we are also planning a grazing workshop to look at issues associated with the use of goats for wildlife management purposes. The pink addendum, as I mentioned, has some administrative items. There's one waiver and two immaterial amendments. We recommend that you concur with the executive director's determinations regarding these items. And so through the chair, I'd ask whether there are any questions or objections to these items.
Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determination? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
That there is an item on the addendum, item 3A, which is the City of Fort Bragg LCP Amendment Update Certification Review. You will be acting today to concur with the executive director's determination that the city's actions to accept the commission's certification of the amendment is legally adequate. And this item marks a real milestone as it brings us to the close of a very long process of comprehensively updating the City of Fort Bragg's LCP. You may remember that the commission acted on this at the January meeting. And it involves comprehensively updating all the policies and the land use plan and zoning and changing the format of the document. The end result, I think, is a much better document that both will have more protection for coastal resources and hopefully be more friendly, user-friendly. The City Council held a hearing on May 12th where they considered the Commission suggested modifications, and they adopted those without substantive change, and they formally approved the necessary resolutions and ordinances to implement those changes. And so under the Commission's regulations, we've determined those are adequate. We're reporting it, our determination to you, and the amendment will become effective upon our filing of a notice with the Secretary of Resources. So we recommend that the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination that the actions of the City of Fort Bragg to accept the certification are legally adequate.
And Mr. Chairman, we would not have been able to bring this to you today because the staff person who did this has left us, but she was kind enough to work from Minneapolis and give us some time to review this for us. And if you're watching, Tiffany, thank you very much for your work. And this brings to an end a long process that will really improve this.
And Mr. Chairman, I just want to thank staff and Tiffany, I guess, in Minneapolis for doing this. I know I got calls from the city and that they were very anxious to get this before this month, and I appreciate the effort of staff to accomplish that.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determination in this matter? Hearing none, the commission finds concurrence.
As I noted at the beginning, there's one item that's moved to the consent calendar, which is item 7A, the permit amendment request for Ritchie. For the benefit of those in the audience, this item will now be heard as part of the consent calendar, where the hearing will be limited to the issue of whether the item should be removed from the consent calendar. And should the commission decide to remove it from the consent calendar, there will be a full public hearing at the regular point in the agenda. The request is by Lawrence and Carmen Ritchie to modify a permit granted in the 1980s for a home at Lansing Street in the town of Mendocino. We're aware of no objections or concerns on this matter, and we recommend that upon the close of the public hearing that you approve it with the special conditions listed in the staff report.
We have no speaker slips. Vice Chair Neely?
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
It's been the consent calendar, the maker and the seconder of the motion asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission approves the consent calendar unanimously.
That brings us to item 6A, which is the JHP appeal. As amended for the commission's de novo review of the project, the development consists of the re-subdivision of a 45.5-acre parcel known as the Harbor Center Tract, located off of Lake Earl Drive, about 2 miles north of the city of Crescent City. The land division would divide it into 94 lots, 91 of which would be residential lots, and three large open space lots incorporating the wetland habitat and buffers. The commission found substantial issue on October 13th, 2006. I do note that there is a staff addendum that makes certain changes to some of the conditions, which I'll touch on later, as well as presents certain of the findings that we were unable to complete for inclusion in the staff report itself. And then, as I noted, there is a letter from Caltrans commenting on traffic issues. The primary issue raised on the appeal was that the wetlands on the site were not adequately delineated, and therefore the development as approved by the county didn't provide sufficient habitat buffers to protect the wetlands and keep the residential lots from intruding into ESHA. For the purposes of this de novo review, the applicants have submitted additional information and submitted some substantial changes to the project that are primarily designed to address the wetland issue. Since the commission found substantial issue, there's been considerable amount of wetland delineation work. Your staff ecologist, Dr. Dixon, has been involved in reviewing those, and staff feels confident that the wetland delineations that have been prepared for the area that's involved in the current application are sufficient and accurately depict the wetland and needed buffer area. To also better protect the wetlands, the applicant has made a number of changes. The project now puts all of the wetland and the 100-foot buffer, there's a full 100-foot buffer around each wetland, into separate lots 92 and 90 through 94, which would be set up and deed restricted as open space, and also would, pursuant to conditions of the permit, would be offered for dedication or to grant to an interest that's able and willing to take on management of those areas for habitat. The project also now includes certain treatment facilities for runoff. They have biofiltration swales, sedimentation basins to treat the stormwater runoff, all of which is located outside of the buffer area as well. It includes symbolic fencing along edges of the buffer to keep the public and residents from encroaching into those areas. There is also there are also erosion control plans and other measures designed to limit the impacts of the development as it affects the wetlands. We're recommending several conditions that would further protect the habitat. As I mentioned, we're recommending that the open space areas be offered for dedication or grant. We are also imposing requirements that the residential units in the development prohibit the planting of invasive species and observe certain lighting limitations. We're requiring conditions that would essentially require the applicant to follow through on the implementation of the buffer fencing and the stormwater treatment facilities, and that there be a maintenance and management program submitted to ensure that all these facilities will be adequately maintained and protected. I do want to note one other briefly very positive change that has been made for the project is that the applicant is now proposing public access. A public trail will be established that will run from the entrance of the subdivision off of Lake Earl Drive along the edge of the open space area, where it will provide for viewing and passive recreational use. It will be served by a 5-car parking lot and will include certain viewing areas along the way. We think that will be a very nice amenity for that development and ensure public access. We do have a condition that also ensures that the subdivision will not be a gated community, that the streets, the principal streets within the subdivision and the parking lot are clearly made available and provided for public access use. So with that, I do note there is an addendum. If you've had a chance to look through there, it makes some, I think, fairly minor clarifications and changes. So I won't go into detail unless you have questions about that, as well as it also includes the findings, as I mentioned.
Right.
That
you can assume we've all looked at the staff report on this one.
You know, I'm sorry?
I said we've all looked at the staff report on this one. I don't think
we need to go into that detail. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So with that, staff believes that the project's fully consistent with the Del Norte County LCP and the public access policies of the Coastal Act, and we recommend that you approve the project as modified by the addendum. And finally, I'd just like to express staff appreciation to the applicant, Jan Sercek, for his extraordinary cooperation and working with us and for revising the project description to address all of our concerns about the best way to protect wetland resources and provide for public access. And the end result, in our opinion, is a much better project that we think will fully protect coastal resources.
And to complement that, I also want to underscore the cooperative work of the applicant, especially with the community groups, working out, resolving the issues, addressing their concerns. I think that was a very positive way to approach this. We applaud his cooperative approach to this. This is going to be a fine new project, and we wish him well if you approve it.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, Mr. Merrill, for your comments also. And we'll ex parties starting on the left. No ex parties. Okay. Open public hearing. Jan Sercek, are you here for questions or do you wish to speak? Thank you, sir. Thank you for working with the commission, with staff. Appreciate it. Vice Chair Neely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Commission approve Coastal Development Permit Number A-1-DNC-06-037, subject to the conditions in the staff report, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
It's been moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Riley. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as conditioned and adoption of the resolutions and findings contained in this staff report. Vice Chair Neely, do you wish to speak to your motion?
Just to thank the applicant for working so well with the staff, and congratulations. I think you've got a good project.
Commissioner Riley?
Just a question to staff regarding the Caltrans issues, and if you want to comment on that.
Yeah, the Caltrans letter goes to questioning the adequacy of the CEQA process that the county followed with regards to traffic impacts on Highway 101. And we feel that, first of all, the CEQA issue is something to be addressed by the lead agency. The concerns don't raise a concern under the Coastal Act. The Highway 101 in this location is about 3/4 mile inland, and it's not the first public road adjacent to the sea. That is instead Lake Earl Drive. And the project at the county level did undergo certain traffic analysis. There are requirements through the county process to for the developer to provide $3,000 per lot for signalization at the entrance of the subdivision on Lake Earl Drive. And we also note that since the project has changed so much since the county first approved it, it'll need to go back to the county for a revised tentative map. And at that time, if the county feels that there's sufficient new information that engenders the need for additional CEQA review, that would be up to their option.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings that are set forth in the staff report. I think we're 9A now?
I believe 6B.
6B, I'm sorry.
Which 6B. Is the application of the City of Arcata. And this project involves the enhancement of four seasonal freshwater wetland areas located east of Highway 101, south of the urban area of Arcata. Which total about 9 acres. The project would involve creating seasonal ponds to enhance habitat for waterfowl and water-associated wildlife and installation of water control structures. There is a staff addendum that makes certain changes to special condition number 2, basically to accommodate a slightly longer work season. The two issues raised just quickly. The first, it is agricultural land, but the project is designed so that it won't adversely affect agricultural use. The area is wet enough that it isn't used for grazing for 7 months out of the year as it is. The ponding will occur during those months, and with the water control structure, it'll be designed so that the ponds can be drained during the summer months and return it for agricultural use. The other issue that comes into play is whether this is truly wetland restoration. Parts of the ponds are within areas that are historically tidelands. Much of this area was diked off from the bay 100 years ago or more. But we looked at this issue and felt that it does constitute restoration in that the locations where the ponds are proposed is near the historic mouths of creeks and other seasonal freshwater wetlands that fed into the tidelands. And while it wouldn't replicate the exact configuration of wetlands as it existed prior to the diking off of the bay, it would allow for the continued habitat processes and functions and values that existed at that time to be restored. And so we feel it does qualify as restoration purposes under Section 30233 of the Act. The special condition that's modified by the addendum allows the city to operate until November 15th if there are certain conditions present that the chance of rain is not raining, and then if it does rain, they have to stop. They can't resume until the chance of rain is 30% and that they have appropriate BMPs to prevent erosion and sedimentation impacts. And so we recommend that the commission find that the project is consistent with the Coastal Act and that you approve the restoration project with conditions by adopting the staff recommendation as modified by the addendum. And the motion is found on pages 4 and 5 of the report.
Okay. So could somebody close the door out there? Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Merrill. And is that the end of your...
That concludes my remarks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Ex parties from the commission, starting on my left. Any ex parties at all? No ex parties. We have no speaker slips. Vice Chair Neely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission approve coastal development permit number 1-08-011 pursuant to the staff recommendations and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Vice Chair Neely, seconded by Commissioner Riley. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Vice Chair Neely, do you wish to speak to your motion?
No, thank you.
Yeah. Commissioner Riley?
No.
Is there any objection for a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings that are set forth in the staff report. Okay, I think we'll go to the San Diego Coast District now.
See ya.
Okay.
Good morning, commissioners. Item 8 is the items removed from the regular calendar, the consent calendar. We don't have any items today to move. We have the San Diego staff here to present their items this morning. And on item 9A, 607-125 LaSalle Hotel, Ellen Lyerly will present this item.
Thank you very much.
The item before you proposes to replace an existing 9,000 square foot events banquet tent at the San Diego Hilton in Mission Bay Park. The temporary tent has been used for 6 months of each year for the past several years, pursuant to permits for such temporary structures from the City of San Diego. The proposal is to construct a 16,500 square foot permanent facility for year-round use. Construction of that facility would require removal of 3 existing tennis courts and the relocation of some parking spaces. Staff is recommending approval of the development with conditions that require revised landscaping plans and place some restrictions on what work can occur during the summer. The facility is proposed within the hotel grounds near the northern property boundary between the hotel and public park areas. A row of parking will separate the structure from the existing boundary fence, which is lined with mature trees that effectively block views into the site from the public area. Portions of the existing tent can be seen between the trees, along with portions of other existing structures on the site. There are currently no ocean views across or through the Shoreline Hotel facility. The larger permanent structure will be visually more prominent than the existing tent from the adjacent public park site to the north, but will still not block any ocean views. Although 45 existing trees are proposed for removal, special condition number one requires planting of 45 new trees along the site perimeter and elsewhere on the property to replace those removed. All trees to be removed are non-native, and the majority of those are palms. Since the condition requires that all plants be non-invasive, neither palms nor eucalyptus would be allowed. In addition to staff revisions to special condition number two, there are two letters in the addendum to which I would direct your attention. This presentation will attempt to address the major concerns raised in the letters. Other concerns may be addressed by staff or the applicant if the commission has questions. The first letter does not object to this specific project, but reminds staff and the commission of its action in 1995 in certifying the Mission Bay Park Master Plan. In that action, a suggested modification included the city's agreement to make improvement of public areas in the park a priority, especially Fiesta Island and South Shores, which are the two largest underdeveloped areas that would be able to significantly increase public use of the park. Public improvements were to be made commensurate with new commercial development in the park. However, the city has not been able to proceed as quickly as possible. The Fiesta Island improvements are currently in the planning and impact analysis stages and have been approved by the Mission Bay Park Committee and Design Review Committee of the Park and Recreation Board. No further improvements have occurred at South Shores, except the opening of a public promenade constructed by SeaWorld as partial mitigation for its newest theme park improvements. In the other letter, the opponent raises many concerns, some of which can be addressed here. Concerns are raised about the project's consistency with CEQA and the lack of alternatives and mitigation measures for the proposed project. The commission does not determine the type of CEQA review that occurs. As the lead agency, the City of San Diego found the project categorically exempt to CEQA pursuant to Class 15302. Furthermore, because the staff did not identify any significant coastal resource impacts, the applicant was not required to provide project alternatives or any mitigation. The second letter also raises a concern regarding some minor improvements shown on the submitted plans, including a pool, minor grading and landscaping associated with the pool, utility modifications, and reconfiguration of on-site parking areas that does not change the total number of parking spaces. As these items do not increase either the square footage or height of any structure and do not change or increase existing uses, they do not require a coastal development permit. Therefore, they were not included in this analysis of the convention center. Another concern raised is with the adequacy of parking on the site. Using the parking standards in the certified Mission Bay Park Master Plan, the combined uses of the hotel facility require 342 parking spaces. The facility provides 410 parking spaces, resulting in a surplus of 68 parking spaces. These calculations include the proposed convention center. Although many other concerns were not directly addressed in the staff report for brevity's sake, that does not mean that they weren't analyzed by staff. In summary, the proposed development will enlarge the area available for convention banquet activities, but does not introduce a new use to the hotel facilities. Although year-round use at a larger venue will result, no additional hotel rooms have been proposed to support the expanded convention banquet uses, and a 3,000 square foot vessel formerly used for banquets is no longer in service. The project was not found significant enough for the city to require any lease amendments or modifications, and the proposed development has been reviewed and approved by the Mission Bay Park Committee, the Design Review Committee of the Park and Recreation Board, and the full Park and Recreation Board itself. Staff continues to recommend approval with the special conditions as discussed previously. This concludes staff comments.
Thank you very much for that concise report. We appreciate it. And ex-parties, starting on my left, Commissioner Waso.
Yes, mine are on file. In addition to that, on Wednesday, I briefly met with Bridget Browning, and she mentioned there were some parking issues related to unmitigated parking impacts on the park, where the hotel administration does not allow the employees to park on-site. They park off-site in the public parking area. And that was an issue that was not dealt with a parking study, nor has a parking study been done in this project. And she thought that that should be reviewed.
This morning, about 7:40 when I arrived here, I had a meeting with Graham Forbes and Bridget Browning. And the content of that communications is exactly what was reported by Commissioner Waso, the same issues. And also the issue that they would love to ask for a postponement so they could see how this parking affects their union members, et cetera, where they've been parking. There's a long history of it. And they were asking for a postponement. Other commissioners?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, during the meeting at a break, I talked to Graham Forbes with Unite Here Local 30, and similar to your conversation, he was asking that this item be continued pending additional analysis.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, I had an identical meeting with the same people that Mr. Riley just described on Wednesday also.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Same subject matter.
None. Commissioner Kajian? And everybody loves you, so. No? No else? Okay. Commissioner Burke, I'm sorry, sir.
I had the same meeting as Riley and Potter this morning as I walked in. With the same people.
Okay.
Thank you.
I should have said Commissioner Cram instead of. Okay. And with that, the rest of the ex parties, and then we'll open the public hearing now, and we'll call on Tanya Galstanian. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it, who was representing Local 30. Thank you. Thank you for your business card this morning, even though it wasn't an ex parte. Yeah. She promised me she wouldn't charge me for handing it to me either. So.
I apologize. I made any errors in the ex parte rules.
How much time, ma'am, are you requesting for your?
Approximately 8 minutes.
Okay. Sure.
To 10 minutes, since there are addendums to the staff report.
Always give me the higher number first.
Okay.
You know, it's helpful. We'll give you 10 minutes.
Thank you, Chair Kruger. Honorable commissioners, it's a pleasure to be here today. My name is Tanya Gulasari, and I'm here on behalf of Unite Here Local 30, whose members provide professional services in San Diego County and Mission Bay Park, and are concerned about public health and safety, civil rights, employment, and sustainable land use issues in this area. I'm here today to request a continuance of this item and urge the commission to request that staff obtain a full project description and analyze inconsistencies with the Coastal Act and environmental impacts under CEQA. I'm going to quickly discuss 5 issues raised by the proposed project. The staff report contains an inadequate description of the project. The Coastal Act and CEQA require an adequate project description of the whole of the project. This includes anything that would be proposed in addition to the convention center, including grading, utilities, new pool, and whatever other elements there are for this project. The only information we know from the staff report is that there's a square footage of the project and, quote, besides a larger structure having the ability to host larger events, twice as many events can be held in a permanent year-round facility. The project description is insufficient. We recommend that the staff report be revised to fully describe the project, including intensity of past and proposed uses, environmental conditions that are existing, and Coastal Act resources, and then the intensity of past and proposed uses. This would include the number of conferences proposed, the types of other events proposed, the number of other events proposed, average number of people attending the events, the peak number of people at the events in order to analyze the peak potential impacts and inconsistencies of the Coastal Act, the existing parking conditions, the parking demand associated with the proposed project. And then since the project files indicate that in a one-line sentence that there will be extension of utilities, grading, and a new pool, if these elements are part of the project, we believe that they should be clarified and included in the project description. In sum, you know, an adequate project description is absolutely essential to evaluating the potential inconsistencies of a project with the Coastal Act and the scope of impacts. So without that, we're operating with what we have. With what we have at least three inconsistencies with the Coastal Act and environmental impacts under CEQA. The Hilton Conference Center is inconsistent with the public access and parking policies of the Coastal Act, specifically Section 30252, where it says that the location amount of new development should maintain and enhance public access to the coast by providing adequate parking facilities or providing substitute means of serving the development with public transportation. In this case, the general manager of the Hilton in February 2008 wrote, "We have not experienced parking issues in the past due to the generous number of parking spaces we have in relation to our 357 guest rooms. The new conference center is anticipated to have little to no increase in parking demand, and except that overall occupancy for the year is expected to increase because we can currently only have their tent up 180 days per year. The statement that the parking issues have not been existing at the site in the past is incorrect based on the evidence in the record. We submitted the Hilton San Diego Resort team member parking standard practice instructions, which sets forth Hilton's employee parking policy for off-property parking. When the decision, according to the policy, when the decision has been made to implement off-property parking, the advisory flag will be placed at the main gate. And then it sets forth several areas in which employees can park off-property. This is evidence that the current site does not provide adequate parking for its existing needs. Whether the proposed project is going to increase that demand or the construction of it is going to increase that demand, we do not know. At a minimum, it shows that there are existing parking issues at the site. In addition, we reviewed a 1985 staff report for prior development at the proposed site, where it said that the adequacy of on-site parking has been a major issue in all prior permit applications. This is from the staff report. Due to the site's location along a major yet low-capacity coastal access route, and this is the first street between the coast and the sea, if adequate parking is not provided on-site, the resultant traffic circulation and parking impacts off-site could adversely affect public coastal access. This staff report specifically said that the commission is going to require a parking study prior to any future development of the facilities at the facility. A parking study has not been provided in this case. The staff report defers analysis also of construction parking impacts. We note in the addendum that they have requested an amendment to the condition that does now allow them to do construction during the summer months that had previously been proposed by staff in order to reduce parking issues and access issues during the summer. However, now with the addendum, construction will be allowed in the summer and on holiday weekends, and there's no analysis of where anybody is going to park during that time. My second issue regarding inconsistencies with the Coastal Act is the inconsistencies with water quality and biological resources. The applicant submitted a letter saying that water quality impacts were analyzed, and here are a few BMPs to address the issue. Then the staff report concludes that there will be no water quality impacts and includes a landscaping plan. We are concerned that without an analysis of exactly what is proposed as far as grading, removal of trees, development of the site, increased intensity of uses at the site, what the impacts will be compared to the existing conditions, and only after that analysis can we identify what feasible mitigation measures would be appropriate for the site. Our final inconsistency with the Coastal Act that we are concerned about is impacts regarding coastal recreation. The existing site provides 5 tennis courts that are open to the public through a membership. The proposed project will reduce the tennis courts by 3, and there is no analysis of how this impacts coastal recreation in the area. These tennis courts have existed long before even the Coastal Commission was born, and they are a part of public recreation in this coastal area. So we believe that an analysis of the loss of these tennis courts should be set forth in a staff report. In a 1981 staff report for the development of the proposed tennis facility, and then again in this 1985 staff report I'm mentioning, there was discussion that construction at these at the site would impact public coastal access and recreation from too much intensity at the site of proposed uses. So for several reasons, we believe that recreation on the coast and public access to recreation on the coast is a concern. There may be inconsistencies with the Coastal Act, and we believe that staff should revise the analysis to look at these issues. Finally, the City of San Diego does not require a coastal development permit for this project. They found that the issuance of a building permit is exempt from CEQA. This is the first coastal development permit that will be issued for the project, and therefore we believe that it is the Coastal Commission's responsibility to act as lead agency for the coastal development permit in analyzing all potentially environmental impacts raised by the proposed project. These include water quality, biological resources, air quality, and public health from construction of the project due to all the people in the area that are playing volleyball using the coastal resources. And this is the Commission's responsibility to conduct the analysis. In sum, we urge the Commission to continue this hearing and get additional information on the proposed project and analyze inconsistencies under the Coastal Act and CEQA.
Just one question before you leave is, and you're asking for a continuance, did you have any comment? I just noticed that the 180th day is up August 24th.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
We'll cover it with staff here now. In other words, we have to complete the project between within 180 days, and I just noticed it's coming up August 24th. So otherwise it's deemed approved, you know. We'll deal with it.
If we need to decide whether to appeal or do some sort of procedural action today in order to extend that time, then I can talk with my clients about what we can do to make sure that we obtain all of the information analysis before it's approved.
Okay. Well, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. And with that, I'll go back to staff for staff response.
Thank you, Chairman Kruger. Regarding the request for continuance, you're correct. If the item is continued from today's meeting, it would require a 90-day extension be requested by the applicant. In terms of the project description, we do have a set of project plans for this development, and the coastal development permit, which would be issued by the commission in this case, there wouldn't be a separate coastal development permit that's also issued by the city, is for the work that's shown on the plans. And work that's not shown on the plans would not be approved. As Ms. Lyerly indicated, some of the work that they are concerned about is work that would not require a coastal development permit, some improvements to other elements of the site. But staff is not concerned that we don't have a full idea of the amount of work that's going to occur in connection with this project. The parking situation was analyzed for consistency with the Mission Bay Park master plan parking standards, which again is typical for us to apply to development of this type. In this case, in Mission Bay Park, there is a shared use standard that allows a discount for the shared use between the convention goers and the guests. And Ms. Galasarian does suggest that there, at some times there may be concern regarding employee parking. There is a way that we could address that. We could add a condition, if the commission's inclined to think it's important, that the applicant give us a transportation demand measures program that would address the measures that they use, like ride sharing, van pooling, mm-hmm. shuttling to the airport mm-hmm. for their guests, and visitor attractions in the area. That was something that we probably should have considered at a staff level and added. And I think the hotel probably does provide a number of those measures to their guests. But it would be appropriate. We would not be inclined to require additional parking in Mission Bay Park, I think, at this point. I think we're at a point where, instead of that being the response, we should be encouraging these non-automobile circulation and uses instead of additional parking in a public parkland. In terms of the construction that's allowed during the summer, we have made a modification in the addendum that allows interior work and landscaping during the summer, but it is prohibited on summer weekends and holidays. We do know the extent of grading. We know the number of trees that are being removed. We're comfortable. We're aware of the intensity of use that would be approved here. We have a drainage and runoff control plan. The tennis courts are not free and open to the public. It's not like they are a public park facility. The general public is able to use the tennis courts. They would have to pay a fee, just like any guest of the hotel. So with those comments, we'll hear your concerns, but we don't believe that there is a need to continue this item, and would encourage that we go ahead and approve it with the conditions recommended by staff at this time.
And the condition that you just recommended, that you raised?
We could add that to our staff recommendation and
okay.
Require that a transportation demand management program be submitted as prior to issuance of the permit.
Is that part of your recommendation then?
We'll revise okay. our recommendation to okay. include that condition, yes.
Thank you. With that, thank you for that. And Commissioner Waisel?
I have a question regarding the if we did vote to continue or postpone this, this would only be able to be heard at our next meeting, which is in September or October, whenever, and that would basically just approve the project, wouldn't it?
No, we could not continue it without the applicant requesting a 90-day extension. There's not enough time for another meeting.
But
and if you don't act today,
the project is approved.
By operation of law, which
right.
we would not allow to have occur.
I don't believe that it's approved by operation of law. I think that entitles the applicant to demand a hearing at the next meeting. That's the way I've understood the Permit Streamlining Act.
or you can, the other option is you can, if the, I don't even think, is the applicant here today? You are here today. Okay, because you didn't put a speaker slip in or anything. Maybe you should come up and ask Commissioner Waso, if you indulge me for a second here, maybe mm-hmm. you want to ask them if they would give a 90-day extension.
Yeah, if you want to come up to the mic and respond to your ability to respond to some of these issues in 90 days.
My name is Alicia Calhoun. I'm with Rossi Architecture. We're with the applicant. And we do have a team here. We have our civil engineer, our landscape architect, and also the property, so that we can answer some of the questions that were raised if you guys do have additional questions.
Well, I think Commissioner Waso, what he's trying to get to, mm-hmm. because there is a possibility of people could vote for a denial here today because you can't extend it, or you could agree to extend it and then come back, extend your time limit by 90 days. And I think that's what he wants to find out is what the applicant would like to do here to give us additional 90 days, because there is a concern here in regard to you know, the information. I think staff report was excellent, etc., but there are some issues having to do with parking and offset parking and everything else, and even with this condition they're talking about. So the question is, are you willing to extend the time limit by 90 days?
Yes, we are willing to extend the time limit by 90 days. However, we would prefer if some of these issues could be addressed today to make you feel comfortable for our resolutions, then we would like to discuss them.
Would we require a motion to extend
yes.
it 90 days?
Yes.
So I'll speak to some of those issues, and I'll make a motion. Well, okay.
No.
Following, if it's okay to make a motion now or...
Well, afterwards, just we'll go to Commissioner Wan and come back to you, Commissioner
okay,
Waso.
That's fine.
Commissioner Riley, I'm sorry, I didn't see your name down there. You didn't show it. Commissioner Riley.
Well, if we're going to continue, one of the things that, you know, I'd like staff and the applicant to look at is this letter from Matt Hageman relative to water quality issues and the current impairment that the Water Quality Board has in Mission Bay and what potential effects, particularly with heavy metals, that this proposed development would have. And he also goes on to list from the San Diego BMP several additional BMPs that were not included in the project that staff may want to review and consider in terms of protecting the water quality in this area.
Mr. Wish.
Yeah, I move that we grant the applicant a 90-day extension to review some of the matters that are must state in my...
just continue.
Just to continue.
Just move a 90-day extension.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner Waso, seconded by Commissioner Potter. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Waso?
Yes, and I think there are some legitimate issues regarding traffic. I'd like to see some kind of traffic study or analysis that does measure the impacts of a new center. The concerns that I have is the temporary tent is not a permitted structure and should have been a permitted structure, and it's already had an impact in the neighboring area that has not been analyzed, that has not been come before any governing body, not the City of San Diego.
It has been permitted by the City of San Diego, the temporary
tent. But not by the Coastal Commission?
No.
And it did require a coastal development permit?
I was not involved in that process at that point,
okay.
But the City of San Diego did approve it, and they did not require a coastal permit.
Okay. We are having a dispute with city staff on some matters of Mission Bay regarding the amount of buildable square footage. There's a ratio between the amount of wetlands in Mission Bay and the amount of dry land, and that kind of governs the amount of structures that can be built in Mission Bay. And we haven't really had a lot of analysis from the city on that regarding future development. And I'd like staff to look into that issue to see if we are exceeding the buildable amounts in Mission Bay. That's just been an ongoing problem. And I think if we approve something here that exceeds that ratio, we're in violation with some state regulations that are that govern our maintenance and administration of Mission Bay Park. So I want to make sure that we don't make that mistake here in the commission, and that we have that information available to us in terms of if it's park-wide or it applies on a project-specific basis. So the densities of a specific project should be analyzed with respect to that regulation that we have for Mission Bay Park. The traffic study, I've gone to numerous events at Mission Bay Park. They do have some convention facilities, and I've never, ever been able to find parking on site. So there is an impact to visitor-serving parking amenities at the park. And I just want to make sure that we're not exacerbating that by adding more convention square footage that's going to add to that problem. So a parking study would be very, very helpful, and some additional analysis on the parking issues. I know there are some more regarding water quality and landscaping, and I hope that we can get some more answers to that as well.
Commissioner Juan, I just want to also clarify at this time, because of your 90-day extension you've given us, we're dealing with the motion on the 90-day continuance be within the 90-day extension time. So, Commissioner Juan?
Yes, I'm going to support continuance because I think there is a lot of information that we haven't received, and I agree with Commissioner Hueso, particularly about the parking. We need some kind of analysis. If, in fact, for example, the employees are not parking on site, then that's something we need to know about, and it does indicate an existing parking problem that may need to be dealt with, and that this shouldn't be allowed to exacerbate that situation, because if the employees are parking off-site now, there's not adequate parking, and that could impact the public's ability to park to get to the coast. So I think we do need some more analysis of that. And there was a point that was made also about we need to have an analysis relative to the loss of those tennis courts. If those are tennis courts that are open to the public, that is public recreation, and we do need to look at what this means. And I did not see that analyzed. So I think there are a whole bunch of good reasons, water quality as well, to continue this and give the staff more time to do additional analysis and work with the applicant and with those people who have concerns about this.
Thank you, Commissioner Juan. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Schallenberger.
Just to remind staff that when this comes back, I'll be looking at it not only for parking, but hopefully there'll be ways to help people get out of their cars, and that means both people coming to events as well as the employees. Again, it's something you've heard me say often, that we need to move toward finding alternative ways, particularly for employees to get to work, than everybody in their own car. So just a reminder to staff.
Okay. Any other commissioners before I take up the motion on the 90-day continuance?
And, Mr. Chairman, we'll have to get that waiver in writing, of course, from the applicant.
That'll be no problem for you, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your cooperation today on your 90-day extension. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. On the motion, they're recommending a yes vote on the 90-day continuance. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on the 90-day continuance? Hearing none, the commission agrees to the 90-day continuance. Okay. 9B.
The next item is item 9B, A6 CII 0828 Moss, and Tony Ross from San Diego office will present this item.
Good morning, commissioners. May I please have the slideshow? Thank you. On June 12, 2008, the Commission found substantial issue exists with respect to a proposal for demolition and reconstruction of a single-family residence with accessory structures on a bluff-top lot located at Tierra del Oro neighborhood in Carlsbad. This presentation represents the de novo portion of the appeal. Please note there is an addendum associated with this item that was passed to the Commissioners yesterday evening. The proposed development includes the demolition of an existing 2,100-square-foot single-family residence and the subsequent reconstruction of a 6,700-square-foot single-family residence, including an approximately 2,400-square-foot basement, an infinity-edge pool, a spa, and various patios. Also proposed are an after-the-fact approval for improvements to an existing pre-coastal revetment, and the retention of a private access stairway situated at the top of the existing revetment. Staff is recommending approval of the CDP with 17 special conditions. Primary concerns addressed by these conditions include development proposed down the face of a coastal bluff, impacts to sand supply from the existing revetment, and the permit history of the portion of the private access stairway located on top of the revetment. The concern of the sand supply has been addressed by a sand mitigation fee, which the applicant has agreed to. The remainder of the concerns are primarily addressed by special condition number one. Commission staff and the applicant have agreed to all other special conditions, and as such, staff will focus the remainder of this presentation on special condition number one. The primary concern raised by the proposed development is the impacts resulting from development down the face of a bluff. The City of Carlsbad has two policies within their LCP pertaining to development on a coastal bluff, and they are on the slide behind you, and state that no development shall be permitted on sand or rock beach or on the face of any ocean bluff, with the exception of access ways to provide public beach access and of limited public recreational facilities. The second policy states that grading and excavation shall be the minimum necessary to complete the proposed development consistent with the provisions of this zone and the following requirements: that no excavation, grading, or deposit of natural material shall be permitted on the beach or the face of the bluff except to the extent necessary to accomplish construction pursuant to this section. The Commission has interpreted the above policies to mean that only at-grade accessory structures are permitted on the bluff face, which do not require grading. The Commission has found the minimum necessary for new development on a bluff face means at-grade and ephemeral structures that do not require excavation. The project is proposing permanent structures, i.e. retaining wall, pool, spa, and various patios, seaward of the residence and on the bluff face, which will require substantial excavation and as such are inconsistent with the above provisions of the certified LCP. The geotechnical report submitted associated with this project locates the bluff edge at approximately 20-foot mean sea level, which is generally located at the top of the riprap revetment. However, the Commission's staff geologist has determined the bluff edge to be at the 36-foot mean sea level contour, similar or actually identical to the location determined for a previously appealed project adjacent to the nearby, to the subject site. And it's actually directly to the north. Staff received a peer review from another geotechnical advisor on August 5th, and it was attached to the addendum that actually concurred with the original geotech, which cited the bluff edge at the 20-foot elevation. And again, staff geologist has had a chance to review that and again disagrees and again cites the bluff edge at 36-foot. In referring to the previous project, in 2007, the City of Carlsbad approved a CDP for the last vacant lot in Tierra del Oro, right to the north of the subject site. Because of the conditions on this lot, the Commission Technical Services staff reviewed in depth the geotechnical information submitted associated with this CDP. Previous to this review, the bluff edge was loosely defined at approximately 20-foot mean sea level. However, after more careful review, of the submitted geotechnical reports, the commission staff geologists for the above-cited project in 2007 determined the bluff edge was more accurately defined and located at approximately 36-foot contour. The commission appealed the project and required the project to be modified to remove all development located west of this 36-foot contour. This is the second CDP issued by the city since that determination. The commission staff geologist has again reviewed this report and again determined that the bluff edge is located at the 36-foot contour. The commission will be reviewing a third CDP for the Tierra del Oro Street as an appeal directly following this item. Commission staff recognizes that development on the bluff face exists at several other locations on Tierra del Oro. However, most of these projects occurred before the commission had a geologist on staff to advise it on the location of the bluff edge. Now that the bluff edge has been defined at 36-foot contour and given the city's LCP provisions, restricting development on the face of the bluff only to public access ways, these types of projects located beyond the established bluff edge can no longer be found consistent with the city's certified LCP. And as such, Special Condition 1 requires the applicant to submit revised final plans showing the deletion of any and all development proposed past that 36-foot contour, i.e. the pool, spa, patios, retaining walls, that cannot be considered ephemeral and capable of being removed. So on the slide, you can see in the blue boxes where the vast majority of the proposed development exists that would be consistent with the LCP policy, and that again includes an infinity edge pool, a spa, retaining walls, and various decking. Commission staff is attempting to address the location of the bluff edge on a neighborhood-wide basis. The slide indicates the general trend on Tierra del Oro is substantial development as far as the bluff edge and then minimal development beyond this line. Development on what is now interpreted on the bluff face is limited to private stairways and small decks, of which the permit history is varied and incomplete. However, there is a development located directly to the south of the subject site that does contain substantial development down the bluff face, which is listed as the Casa de Mar. In 2004, the City of Carlsbad approved a coastal development permit for an addition and a remodel of the residence. The CDP did not include any improvements beyond the bluff top and adhered to the appropriate stringline requirements, and as such, no appeal of the City's decision was filed by the Commission. In 2005, the City issued another administrative coastal development permit for the site, which was described as the construction of a pool and spa within an existing patio. Because the project was approved administratively and because the project description did not include that the development was proposed on a blufftop lot, the commission staff did not identify the development as potentially inconsistent with the certified LCP, and an appeal was not filed by the commission. Again, in reviewing the aerial photographs of the surrounding neighborhood, it is apparent that the development on the property south of the subject site is actually out of character with the surrounding neighborhood and should not be used as the model by which other development in the area should be based on in the future. The second primary concern is that the permit history for the stairway located on top of the existing revetment. In looking at historical aerial photography at this location, the site appears to have had an improved pathway that existed prior to the ratification of the Coastal Act. As such, the stairway remains as a legal nonconforming structure, and no work is proposed on the stairway at this time. However, the stairway does continue down the bluff into the area covered by the previously mentioned revetment. As previously stated, both the revetment and the stairway down the bluff face were constructed prior to the Coastal Act. However, the revetment was significantly improved between 1979 and 1987, and this is again based on aerial photography, and this was without benefit of a coastal development permit. As such, it appears the portion of the stairway existing on top of the revetment was removed and reconstructed to accommodate the improvements to the associated revetment. Again, because the improvements to the revetment weren't approved through a coastal development permit, the replacement of the stairs on top of the bluff was not, on top of the revetment was not removed. And because of this, it lost its legal conforming status. In addition, private stairways and other similar structures on top of a revetment are typically not approved, as they can interfere with the function of the revetment. As such, special condition number one further requires the applicant to submit revised plans indicating that the unpermitted improved stairs located only on the top of the revetment will be deleted from their plans. Removal of the stairway portion on the revetment will also be handled as a separate enforcement matter. In conclusion, the proposed project would result in significant impacts to a coastal bluff. Staff is attempting to set a line for future development on Tierra del Oro based on the most recent sighting of the bluff edge. The proposed development includes retaining walls, patios, spa, and a pool, all beyond the bluff edge established by commission staff. Further, a portion of the existing stairways located on a revetment was improved and reconstructed without the benefit of a coastal development permit. The special conditions required result in the elimination of these impacts to the coastal bluff. Therefore, staff is recommending the commission approve the CDP with all proposed special conditions, and the appropriate resolution can be found on page 3 of your staff report. This concludes staff comments.
If I might, just an observation, the history of the development on the, beyond the bluff edge on the adjacent property is indicative of a problem that we have with local jurisdictions that, and I didn't bring up during my statewide report the question of the workshop with the League of Cities group and the Coastal Counties group, and we are looking at that and understand Commissioner Schallenberger's concerns. We share those concerns, but this is an example of the kind of issue where issuing a permit administratively and then not providing notice to us, then later we're confronted with a fait accompli that has the local approval that should never have been forthcoming. And it creates a untenable situation for both this commission, application of the law, and the adjacent property owners. So we're going to be talking to the city about how we can take steps to avoid this recurrence of this kind of a situation in the future. But
thank you, Director Douglas, for those comments. With that, I'll come to the commission for ex parties, starting on my left.
Mine are on file.
Vice Chair Neely, you said yours are on file.
Excuse me, Mr. Record. Chair, mine are on file.
And mine are on file also.
Mine are on file, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Anyone else? Okay. Then we'll open the public hearing, and Mr. Stephen Moss, or you come up, please, if you want. It looks like there's three speakers, all part of the applicants group, and so you can, Mr. Moss, would you like to come up first as the applicant? Mr. Moss, how much time are you requesting for the three of you?
Approximately 2 or 3 minutes, please.
Just for you?
3 minutes, and then our consultant will be speaking on my behalf.
And how much time is he? I want to make sure. You want to each take 3 minutes?
And how much time do you want?
We'd like to request 15. We won't take the entire time.
Okay, 15 between the three of you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I also had an ex parte, which is on file.
No. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. So we're going to give you 15 minutes, and you can split it up amongst the
sure.
Mr. Franklin and Leslie Reed. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and there's nobody in opposition here, speaker slip, so you won't need any rebuttal time.
Thank
unless you.
You
want to rebut yourself.
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we'll give you 15 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable commissioners. My name is Stephen Moss, and my wife, Janet, and I are the owners of 5015 Tierra del Oro, the project you are considering for approval this morning. We have owned this property for nearly 5 years and have been residents of North San Diego County for 10 years. We worked with the City of Carlsbad staff for over 3 years to get this project approved and have been working with the Coastal Commission staff since March of this year to do the same. In particular, I would like to thank the local San Diego office of the Coastal Commission staff, Tony Ross, our analyst, and Lee McEckern for their work with us. We have managed to resolve and accept 16 out of the 17 conditions that are being imposed on us. We are asking you to approve this project with the deletion of only one out of 16 of the conditions so that we can build our family home. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moss. Mr. Franklin? John Franklin? You want to come up next? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'll be turning that in separately. I'm sorry. Ann Blemker.
Leslie Reed?
Ann Blemker, Leslie Reed will be available for questions. I was just informing Vanessa that I'll be
what's
turning
your,
in my
what's your name? Because there's not a speaker slip in here for you.
Yes, it's being filled out right now. Sorry.
Okay.
Apologize for that.
State your name for the record, then.
It's Ann Blemker with McCabe & Company.
Okay.
Good morning, Chairman Kruger. I'm Ann Blemker, representing the applicants, Stephen and Janet Moss. I have a PowerPoint presentation. As staff noted, the subject site is a blufftop lot located along Tierra del Oro and Carlsbad. The applicants are proposing to demolish the existing residence and construct a new two-story single-family home, pool, and accessory improvements on the lot. Their proposal is consistent with the pattern and scale of development that exists in the subject area, and the new residence will be sited in alignment with the adjacent residences and actually will be sited further inland than the existing home here. After working with staff for approximately 6 months, we have resolved almost all of the issues raised by the appeal. First, the applicants and staff are in agreement with the use of the staff's of the city's string line setback for the proposed residence, which will result in a structure that's in line with adjacent development. Second, the applicants are willing to provide side yard view corridors to allow ocean views from the frontage street. And lastly, the applicants are willing to accept a requirement to pay into the sand mitigation fund to mitigate for riprap that was placed by previous owners. However, there does remain disagreement regarding the proper bluff edge determination and the retention of a stairway segment that traverses the existing riprap revetment. The project was approved by the city with a residence at the top of the bluff and accessory improvements to be sited between the home and the bluff edge. The bluff edge was determined to be located at the 20-foot contour by the applicant's geotechnical consultant as well as city staff. 20-foot contours here. Coastal Commission staff contends that the bluff edge is located at the 36-foot contour. And the 36-foot contour is located substantially farther inland. Imposition of staff's bluff edge would necessitate a full project redesign if the applicants do wish to have any type of improvements beyond the residence. In another look at the subject site, you can see examples of development that does extend beyond the 36-foot contour, which is located approximately up here. Previously approved development does include similarly sized homes, decks, patios, platforms, stairways, similar to what is proposed now. The applicants wish to develop the subject site in a manner consistent with existing development, with the pool and the accessory improvements located inland of the bluff edge at the 20-foot contour here. As shown in the previous slides, development does exist beyond the 36-foot contour at several other locations along Tierra del Oro. In fact, there are at least four cases in the last 5 years where the city has approved development and determined that the top of the bluff is sited at a more seaward location than staff now asserts. The project has undergone extensive analysis, including 3 years of review at the city level. Local review included the preparation of a geotechnical report and multiple addendums by GEI to assess the stability of the site and the feasibility of the proposed project. In their analysis, GEI concluded that the bluff edge is located between the 18 and 20-foot contour. A recent peer review that you've been provided by GeoSoils concurs with that determination of bluff edge. And it has been determined by both that the beginning of the rollover to the bluff face is located between elevation 18 and 20 feet MSL. And this feature is buried by a few feet of fill, as shown in the cross-section. I'm sorry, I don't have an arrow, but I'm pointing it to the approximate location on the screen with the arrow. As such, the applicants disagree with staff's bluff edge determination at the 36-foot contour. which is located substantially farther inland, approximately here. The second disagreement with staff involves their recommendation to require removal of a portion of the existing beach access stairway. Here's a view of the lower segment of the existing stairway. Staff asserts that this portion must have been removed and replaced when the riprap revetment was augmented by prior owners in the 1980s. However, the Mosses have no reason to believe that the stairs were replaced. The rocks could have been placed around or in front of the stairway as it's visible in this photo. So we do ask that you remove Special Condition 1, which would allow the city-approved 20-foot contour to be applied as the top of bluff for purposes of establishing development limits, and would allow the entire stairway to be retained in its current configuration. The project should be approved with the proposed deletion of Special Condition 1 for the following reasons. It is consistent with past local approvals and the city's interpretation of the LCP. It is consistent with the pattern and scale of development in the surrounding area. There won't be any adverse visual impacts, and it will not contribute to geologic instability. There is support from a majority of the neighbors along Tierra del Oro, and they've even signed a petition in support. And we do have representatives here from both Geotechnical Exploration, Inc., GEI, the original geotechnical consultant working on the project, as well as GeoSoils that prepared the peer review. And they are available for questions if you have any technical questions for them. And that concludes the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your presentation. And with that, completes everything for the applicant, their presentation. I'll close the public hearing and go back. Oh, you do want to speak then. She said that completes the presentation. Just her presentation? Or you're not? I guess you're not going to speak. Okay, is that complete the presentation by the applicant? Then I'll close the public hearing and go back to staff.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, before I turn it back to Sherilyn, let me just underscore our appreciation of the willingness of the applicant to address the concerns that we've raised and agree to the vast majority of the conditions. However, the condition that they're asking that you delete, we feel very strongly that this commission should retain that condition. When you look at the aerial photograph of development along this stretch of shoreline and the potential in the future, if you approve this, for building down the bluff face to that 20-foot contour line, you can see how significant the precedent would be. The adjacent property, we don't consider that a precedent. That should have been under the city's LCP, not given an administrative permit. It should have, if it had been given a permit, it would have been appealable and noticed to us. It was one of those things that was, in our view, inappropriately and inconsistent with the existing requirements of law approved. But that's not the fault of the property owner, that's the local government. So there's nothing can be done about that. And we've already communicated to the city that what they did in that case was inconsistent with the LCP and inappropriate. So to compound that mistake by the commission authorizing development down the bluff face, they are going to have a house, they're going to have their family home, they're going to have their stairway down the bluff face. The only thing they won't have is the pool and the deck and the spa. So we very strongly feel that the commission ought to retain the condition that they're asking to withdraw. And of course the neighbors would be supportive, because you can imagine that they would like to do the same thing. I don't need to point that out.
Okay. Thank you, Director. Yes.
Thank you. I don't have much more to add. Just to remind the Commission that the approval of the project as recommended by staff would be entirely consistent with the action you just recently took on the Riley project just immediately to the north. In Carlsbad, historically there has been a string line established for the residential structures and a string line established for the accessory structures, and the minimal improvements on the buff face that are allowed need to be within string line. And as Director Douglas indicated, this is a much more substantial nature to these accessory improvements, the pool and spa and retaining walls. And if the commission begins to endorse that kind of substantial development on the bluff face, it would become the pattern, and rather than being the exception, which we think is the case on the property to the south. That concludes my comments.
And I just,
go ahead, Director Douglas.
Was told by Tony that we also have an application for another project, unless you just said that, Sherilyn, that actually will be directly affected by your decision here.
Okay. Thank you very much, Director Douglas and the rest of the staff on this presentation. Commissioner Wesel?
Yes, I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number A-6-CII-08-028 pursuant to the staff recommendation. Recommend a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Wesel, seconded by Commissioner Schallenberger. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings contained in the staff report. Commissioner Wesel, would you like to speak to your motion?
No.
Commissioner Schallenberger? Okay. Commissioner Wan?
Yeah, I just have to make one comment, and I'm in support of the motion, but I keep hearing the applicant say that hiring the second technical expert geologist constitutes peer review. And let me explain, that's not peer review. So if you don't understand what peer review is, I can go into it. Peer review is by an independent panel of scientists. And somebody you hire as a second expert is not an independent panel of science, so it's not peer review.
Other commissioners? I'll support the motion also. I think it is a very important issue here. This has been a battle down this area for some time, and I do think staff is correct on this, and this person will have a very nice house, and it isn't necessary to build a pool and a spa going down the face of the bluff. And I think that I appreciate the cooperation of the applicant with the staff, but I think this is the right way to go. Anyone else? If not, is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on the motion? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development, adopts the findings that are set forth in this staff report. Okay, and then what we're going to do is take a 10-minute bio break here before we've got some speakers on these other ones, even though they're substantial issue questions. A couple of them are recommending no substantial issue, so they'll take a little bit of time. So let's take a 10-minute bio break.
Yes, item 10A, and Lima Keckern, the supervisor for permits in the San Diego office, will present this item.
Can I get the PowerPoint up, please? This project involves the appeal of a project approved by the city of Carlsbad for replacement of an existing unpermitted private wooden stairway with a concrete stairway and some retaining walls and a patio on the face of a coastal bluff. And this site is located 5 lots north of the Moss site of the project you just reviewed on Tierra del Oro. And staff is recommending that the commission find substantial issue and have prepared a recommendation on de novo. So unless 3 or more commissioners object, substantial issue will be found, and I will proceed with the presentation on the staff's de novo recommendation.
Do 3 or more commissioners object to finding substantial issue? Hearing none, the commission has found substantial issue.
Okay. Staff is recommending denial of the project as it is inconsistent with the City of Carlsbad certified LCP. Let's see here. There we go. Based on research by staff, it has been determined that the existing stairway on the face of the bluff is unpermitted. Neither the city nor the commission have a record of the stairway being permitted, and based on aerial photographs, It is determined that it was constructed sometime between 1979 and 1987. Thus, the project is not replacement or maintenance of an existing permitted stairway. It's replacement of an unpermitted private access stairway with a more permanent concrete stairway on the face of a coastal bluff. The City of Carlsbad certified LCP is very specific regarding private access stairways and other developments that require substantial grading, as was discussed in the last hearing. They are not permitted on the face of the coastal bluff. Any structures on the face of the coastal bluff have to be ephemeral, at grade, easily removable. The proposed structure will be a concrete stairway, retaining walls, and grading to support a retaining wall and a patio, and those are clearly inconsistent with the provisions cited above from the City of Carlsbad LCP. The applicant asserts that all the other properties along this section of the coast have private access stairways, so why is the commission singling him out? While it is true, as discussed in the last hearing, many of the properties on Tierra Doro subdivision have private access stairways on the face of the bluff. Many were constructed prior to the Coastal Act, some are unpermitted, and as you heard earlier, you know, there's some were permitted by the city and a few by the Coastal Commission. In any case, the city's LCP does not permit private access stairways on the face of the bluff, nor other structures that require grading on the bluff face. And in this particular case, the existing stairway to be replaced is unpermitted, and the proposed patios and retaining walls require grading on the bluff face. Therefore, staff recommends that the commission deny the applicant's request to replace the stairway and follow up if the commission finds with the staff's recommendation. Our enforcement staff will be working as a separate matter to pursue removal of the stairway. And the motions and resolutions can be found beginning on page 9 of the staff report. And this concludes my comments.
Thank you very much for that presentation. And with that, I'd like to go to ex parties, please. See if there's any ex parties, just to ask. None. Okay, I'll open the public hearing. Richard Byrne.
Esteemed commissioners, staff, gentlemen.
How much time are you requesting, sir?
We'll take our full 15 minutes if we could. We probably don't use it, but we may as well request it.
Okay.
Again, thank you. I don't really want to make too many comments on this, is that there is a comment that this is an unpermitted stairway.
Give us your name for the record, please.
My name is Richard Byrne. I'm the owner of the property at 5001 Tierra del Oro. We've owned it for 10 years this month. And the comment that I won't want to make is that we have pictures that there are stairways that, first of all, our stairway doesn't go to the beach. We're not asking for a stairway to go to the beach. We want to be able to have access to the lower portion of our lot. You can see, and there will be lots of, we have copies in there of numerous people who put stairways to the beach. We haven't done that. This stairway was built consistent with the house being built in 1979, as was the house next door. When I asked the people at the City of Carlsbad about it, they said we didn't require permits to build a stairwell, particularly because there was one in the property, or at least on the property at that point in time. It's been used for 50 years as a stairway to get down to the beach, because in prior times there wasn't riprap down below. Now there is. It was a permitted process as well. So first of all, we aren't asking to do anything except potentially stabilize the bluff. You will see in our presentation what happens to the bluff when there aren't stairs and access. The public comes down and it tramples down the bluff face and it ruins the bluff. The stairwells, when there are stairwells, saves the bluff. And all we're asking is to replace the existing one with a more stable one. There is no grading. Listen to me. No grading involved in this. The staff continues to say that. The staff continues in their presentation that this stairwell was built, was bootlegged in at some time later. It was built when the house was built. And that was almost 30 years ago. And it's falling apart. And when you want to walk to the bottom of our lot, you can't, since we haven't been able to do anything, we have to walk over boards that are falling apart. There are nails sticking out. I worry about grandchildren going down those stairwells. If you say we're not going to do it, you think we're not going to use the bottom of our lot? We're going to go down the face of it, just like everybody that does it currently to the exact north of us. You can see what happens when you do it. It tears the bluff down. And, you know, to contend that I would do anything that would cause some degradation in the stability of that bluff would be idiocy on my part. I wouldn't do anything that would reduce the integrity and stability of that bluff. So, you know, the contention that in the staff's asking for finding a substantial thing is that we bootlegged these stairs in. We didn't. They were there for nearly 30 years. We're not asking to grade anything. There'll be no grading involved, period. And the truth is, and the staff has actually wavered when they've talked to me, if you put wood in, the wood will disintegrate and the wood pylons that they're built into will come apart and will loosen the bluff. If you put concrete in, it actually stabilizes the bluff. And so what I'm contending is we'd like to have access to the bottom of our lot in a safe way, not in a non-safe way. If we tear the stairs down, as the staff is requesting that we do, somebody's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get hurt. Probably be in my family. And it's just not a correct approach to say you can't have stairs in your lot. I'm not trying to build stairs to the beach. I've never done that. You can see that other people have. We haven't. We've approached this in a consistent, appropriate way, legal way, every step of on this project. It's to get stairs in. We've been working on this for almost 2 years to put replacement stairs in. At some point in time, you know, it's time to stop. And I'm saying, if you take those stairs out, someone will get hurt, and it will be a travesty. And I'd like to turn the floor over to Bob Sukup from Seabright Management. He's been our advising engineer during this process.
He needs to fill out a speaker slip when he's through speaking.
I asked the gentleman earlier, I said it would be for me and our engineer. He said we'll just fill it out with your name. We'll put his name on another slip.
Okay. He can come up, but he needs to fill out a separate speaker slip.
Thank you. Yeah, filling out a slip is no problem. Again, my name is Bob Sukup, and I'm the civil engineer on the project. A couple weeks ago, I did write another letter to the Coastal Commission, to Tony, and we supplied you with copies and all the photographs. And in my letter, I indicated that, you know, picture is worth 1,000 words. And in the photographs that I supplied to you, I wanted to show you a lot of development that is presently occurring along the coast there of Carlsbad. Also, I'm a resident of Carlsbad. I've been there for 22 years, have been involved with other coastal permit applications, and we go down to the beach almost every weekend and take a walk and stuff. So we do enjoy the access and looking at the development that is going on. It's kind of fun to look at it. But in all the pictures that I gave you, a couple of them, if you look at photo 7 and 8, that is the property that is directly to the north of Mr. Burns' property. And that is an area where the public comes down the slope face, and they're literally destroying the bluffs there. As you can see, there's all sorts of erosion. The vegetation is being worn away. And that's what happens when there's no non-erodible surface that you can go down, and it concentrates where the people can come down. So just want to make that point to you. When you go to photo number 9, that's the Burn residence, and when you look at it from down below on the sand, you just see the upper portion of the stairs, the wooden stairs that are there right now, and the lower portion of the stairs that's also proposed, you won't even see those from down below. So what he's trying to do is, as Dick had said, he's just trying to replace what was there when he bought the house. And if you look at photo number 10, is the house directly to the south of them, which is has a coastal permit. They are in the process of, actually they've almost rebuilt the house, they tore it all down. You can see it's almost finished. They have restabilized their little deck that was out there, and you can see that they've got some work that they're going to be doing on their staircase going down to the riprap. And then if you go to photo number 11, that is a house that is 3 doors down, and about 2.5 years ago, I processed a permit through the city of Carlsbad for the exact same thing that we're doing with the Burn residents. We have the concrete stairs, and we also introduced in there where they had a little flat area up on top, we built a little 3-foot retaining wall, and they have a little sitting area that they come down on. at night to enjoy the sunsets or whatever. So it just kind of goes to show you what is occurring. Other photos a little bit further to the south, which have been shown very well by the staff in the presentation on the other project. So when we put this project together, we were very cognizant of the string line rule, which the city of Carlsbad wants you to adhere to. I had several meetings on the job site with them, with the city staff, and it was right in line with the adjacent property as well as a couple properties further south. So the and the little deck area that we're proposing is just a reconstruction of an existing deck. If you were to go out there and look in the bushes, you can see the wall is falling over. So that's just to restabilize what is there. The stairways that we're proposing to go down, if the wood stairs disappear, like Dick was saying, they're still going to go down. And so now what do you have? You have foot traffic going down an unprotected slope face, and you're going to get wind erosion, you're going to get rain erosion, and you're going to get foot traffic erosion. So putting in the concrete stairs, we're not doing any grading. The Coastal Commission wanted additional sections. I gave them cross sections on how we're going to build it, which you're just going to double form it, pour the concrete, they'll bring a pumper in, just pump it down there, and it's a done deal. And you should never have to do it ever again. So it's just giving them something that they have enjoyed for the last 10 years, and people prior to that enjoyed that same set of stairs. So I'm hoping that you can see that we follow the string line. We have taken care not to ruin the slope. When they talk about development, I don't look at this as development. I look at it as a repair. Development to me is a subdivision of property, building of houses and whatever. They're not asking for that. It's just a repair, and I just see no reason why approval of this would create a precedent that's going to cause problems later on when you look at all the development that's going on right now with direct access to the sand. So I'd be more than happy to answer some questions or discuss it a little bit further.
I don't think there's any questions.
Abilities or whatever. You know, the development that we're doing is not going to create instability. It's going to maintain further stability.
Okay. If there's any questions of the commissioners, we might call you back up again. If okay. They don't have any right now, it doesn't sound like.
All right. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else in your presentation, Mr. Byrne? Was that it? Okay. With that, I'll thank you for your testimony. And with that, I'll close the public hearing, and I'll go back to staff for the response.
Thank you, Chairman Kruger. just to clarify that what's before the commission today is we're actually looking at this as new construction of a stairway. In review of the 1972 photos, there's no evidence that there was a stairway on this site. The applicants acknowledged that the existing stairway was constructed in 1978 or 79, and that's when the commission would have had permit jurisdiction. The city may not have required permits, but a coastal development permit was required and not obtained. So the existing stairway we're considering to be unpermitted. In this case, the applicant is proposing to remove it and construct a more permanent stairway with concrete and retaining walls. Technicality on the grading, we consider fill to be grading, and the letter from Mr. Sukup indicates there is fill associated with the construction of the new stair, so that's why the staff continues to consider that there is grading associated with the construction of the stairway. We don't feel that the type of development that's proposed here is appropriate in an area that's subject to erosion. The commission knows there's a long history of the difficulty in holding the line on these kinds of encroachments on these bluff faces that are privately held. The applicants tend to consider them to be the same as backyard improvements, and so it is very difficult for the commission to hold the line on that. But when it's clear that a permit's required, we feel that it's not appropriate to endorse something like a private stairway on a bluff face as consistent with the Coastal Act, with its impacts to scenic quality, potential impacts on the public recreational use of the beach, and the alteration of the natural landform. So staff is recommending that the project not be approved, and that concludes my comments at this time.
Thank you for your presentation and your comments now. And with that, I'll go to the commission and recognize Commissioner Wesel.
I move that the commission determine that appeal number A-6-CII-08-0001 18018 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds.
No. Page 9.
Sorry.
Yeah. We've taken that.
We've already done that. Okay. Almost there. Okay. So.
It's on page 9.
I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number A-6-CII-06-18 for the development proposed by the applicant. Recommend a yes vote.
A yes vote?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to his yes vote? Your motion lacks a second. Commissioner Schellenberg.
I move the commission approve coastal development permit number A-6-CII-06-18 for the development proposed by the applicant and recommend a no vote.
Is there a second to that? It's been moved by Commissioner Schellenberger and seconded by Commissioner Wan. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a no vote. Failure of this motion will result in the denial of the permit and the adoption of the resolutions and findings. Commissioner Schellenberger, would you like to speak to your motion?
Only to say that I think staff has made a strong case that, first, this is new development. It sometimes seems confusing given that it's replacing existing stairs, but since those stairs were not permitted, don't have a coastal permit, their replacement does constitute new development, and we have a long history, a fairly consistent history of not approving new development for stairs down these coastal bluffs.
Commissioner Wan, would you like to speak to him? Okay. And again, they're asking for a no vote, and any other commissioners want to weigh in on this before I call the motion?
Yeah, I just, in terms of looking at the evidence and looking at the stairs that are entirely on the applicant's property, so we don't have an issue of limiting coastal access with stairs that are actually accessing the beach. In terms of looking at the view of the impacts of the stairs, I don't see that they impose an impact to the views. No grading, given that, I mean, I understand this is a very, very highly technical interpretation of a rule that can, there's concern that it would set a precedent. I don't necessarily think it does, given that the no grading would occur. We're talking about a development of 130 square feet, which is 13 by 10 feet, which is not a significant a matter. I think we're really delving into the minutiae on this matter, and I just see it as a stairway that's just important in accessing the applicant's property, and I just think that it just seems like these rules are being applied excessively to this matter, which seems minor in from my perspective, but.
Thank you, Commissioner Wazo. Commissioner Wan, you had a comment?
Yeah, I do think we have to be, to some degree, consistent here. I mean, we're trying to prevent development down the face of the coastal bluff. We just denied development down the face of the coastal bluff. I don't believe there's a history of permitting these kinds of stairways on this bluff, and if we do this, it will set a precedent. Am I right that the Carlsbad LCP does not allow development down the face of a coastal bluff? So it would be inconsistent with the existing LCP. And I don't see how you can approve it when it's inconsistent with the standard of review.
I do think on this one that staff is correcting Commissioner Wan's comments because it is inconsistent with the Carlsbad LCP. That's a big problem. And so any other commissioners want to weigh in? If not, would the clerk call the roll? They're recommending a no vote, the maker and second.
Commissioner Shajian?
No.
Commissioner Blank?
No.
Commissioner Berg?
No.
Commissioner Wesel?
Yes.
Commissioner Neely?
No.
Commissioner Potter? Commissioner Riley?
No.
Commissioner Schellenberger?
No.
Commissioner Wan?
No.
No.
Chairman Kruer?
No.
9-1.
Commission hereby denies a coastal development permit for the proposed development. Okay, we'll go to 10B.
For item 10B, Gary Cannon from the San Diego office will present this item.
Thank you. And there's a PowerPoint of slides for this. The appealed development involves the trenching and installation of telecommunication electric cables within a private paved roadway to serve an off-site wireless antenna facility. The private roadway already accommodates utility connections for three existing residential sites. The trenching will occur within 100 feet of Lux Creek, which likely contains environmentally sensitive habitat. However, no direct impacts to Esho will occur, and as conditioned by the city to require the use of appropriate erosion and pollution controls for the grading, no adverse impacts are anticipated. Staff is recommending that the commission find that the appeal does not raise a substantial issue. The site is located on the north side of Manchester Avenue, two lots east of El Camino Real in Encinitas. It is also directly across the street from Encinitas Country Day School's property, with San Alejo Lagoon lying immediately south of the school. The city coastal development permit involved the installation of a wireless antenna facility on an accessory living unit located a few lots north of the appellant's residence. While the appellant is opposed to the wireless facility is not located within the commission's appeals jurisdiction, as demonstrated on exhibit number 2 of the staff report. Only a very small corner of the lot proposed for the wireless facility lies within the appeal zone. At the time the appellant appealed the project locally, it came to commission staff's attention that trenching for telecommunications and electric cables would occur within the commission's appellate jurisdiction. We notified the city and the appellant, and subsequently the appellant appealed that portion of the development to the commission. In terms of trenching, the appellant has raised two primary concerns. One is that the trenching on her property was not specifically reviewed by the city as part of the wireless facility coastal permit. And secondly, that the trenching will adversely affect habitat within Lux Creek. However, as identified in the staff report, the appellant herself informed the city in 2006 that utility connections to the wireless facility would need to occur through the private paved road that crosses her property. In addition, even if the city failed to adequately identify the trenching location, the error is not significant in that no coastal resources will be impacted and no regional or statewide significant issue has been raised. In addition, the city acknowledges that the grading for the trenching will require approval by the engineering department to assure adequate best management practices. Therefore, no impacts to coastal resources are anticipated. In conclusion, staff is recommending the commission find the appellant's assertions do not raise a substantial issue. And that completes my presentation.
Thank you for your presentation. And with that, I'll ask for ex parties, starting on my left. Any ex parties, any of the commissioners? I see none, hear none. I'll open the public hearing. And as it is our practice, when staff recommends no substantial issue, we will call the appellant up first. And then the representative of the applicant, and you'll each get 3 minutes under our practice. So, Wendy Maldow?
This is before you, and I've stuffed my 3 minutes into what you're going to see. Good morning, everybody.
Just a minute. Well, why don't you give us your name for the record, and we won't start the time until your presentation comes up, okay?
My name is Wendy Maldow. And I'm the appellant.
Here lies one of our county's best remaining wetland areas. San Alejo's 1,000 acres are a popular hangout for local and migratory birds. Only the 40-foot width of Manchester Avenue splits this natural terrain and wetlands from my property. Lux Creek on my side of Manchester, a waterway, a creek bed, a tributary, drainage, call it what you may, lies within 5 feet of the proposed trenching permit before you. On paper, this appears to be a difficult site. The city council never considered the trenching, as they didn't even have the trench plan. This long, steep, windy driveway provides residential access for two home sites above mine. Utility easements are provided for residential use, not for commercial use, to serve millions. Less than 10 years ago, the Department of Fish and Game worked diligently with the city to allow grading and construction for the applicant's home site. The sensitive habitat found growing on that parcel was specifically identified, and deed restrictions were recorded prior to construction. These restrictions prohibit all additional development on slopes over 25%. Yet only 5 years later, the Lucases defy these covenants for their own monetary gain, secretly contracting with Singular for a macro 12 antenna cell site to be attached to their occupied accessory unit. They didn't take into account the city ordinances, nor the deed restrictions, nor the neighbors, nor the trenching through the coastal jurisdiction. This site is 38% slope. Watershed from this bluff directly relates to your jurisdiction, that of Lux Creek, the wetlands, and the lagoon to which it flows. Even the city agenda stated no aspect of the proposed project encroaches into the coastal appeal jurisdiction. The trench map first appeared in March of 2008 after Singular's second appeal. Any discussion regarding this easement brought up by the planning commissioners was shut down. Both the planning staff and the city attorney stated this easement is a civil matter that the city was not to be concerned with. The application has been turned down two times, both times unanimously, by the planning commissioners. Commissioner Chapeau stated that at the second hearing, I think there was a lot of information that wasn't completely accurate, and Commissioner McCabe stated they haven't presented anything to me to suggest that this is still an acceptable site. The city may have added conditions to its final approval, but I don't believe that the trenching was given due consideration. It simply has not been looked at enough. Although the Coastal Commission is only concerned with a small portion of the site, that small trenching portion is just 5 feet from the creek. I have no reason to trust the applicant. They've lied on their original application and throughout the hearings. The BMP would have to be stellar. We really need an environmental impact statement. Doesn't matter that this is a storm drain, as it is connected directly to the San Alejo Lagoon. It can't squeak by when it is so close to our sensitive habitat. Here lies one of our county's best remaining wetland areas. San Alejo's 1,000 acres are a popular hangout for local and migratory birds. Only the 40-foot width of Manchester Avenue splits this natural terrain and wetlands from my property.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you. Then we will have the applicant, Ted Marincelli, representing Singular, I believe now AT&T.
Good morning. My name is Ted Marincelli, representing Singular and now AT&T Wireless.
Thank you.
Just to reiterate some of the points that staff has made, that the project complies with the local coastal program, does not present any substantial issues over impacts to habitat or water quality. And this project was considered by the City of Encinitas in four separate public hearings, two at the Planning Commission and two at the City Council. In February 2008, it was finally approved 3-1 in its present condition. This, I don't know if you can get the overhead projector, this is the photo simulation of the project itself, if you wanted to turn the overhead camera on. In any event, the trenching that you're considering here is a very short portion of the project, and it only includes the telephone cable in a 2-inch conduit. The trench will be about 8 to 10 inches wide and about 12 to 18 inches deep. Will not impede any access and probably be done in virtually a day. So with that, I would just urge you to approve this project as presented.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your presentation. With that, I'll close the public hearing. And I'll go back to staff for comment.
Thank you, Chairman Kruger. Just to reiterate what Mr. Cannon said, that there is only a small portion of this development that's before the Commission on Appeal. It's a small portion of the trenching. It's within an existing private utility easement and driveway. The utilities within a driveway like this if they were to serve in existing structures, an existing residence would not require a coastal development permit. So we did not look at this as a significant development. We don't believe that it has raised any statewide issues that have not been addressed by the city. We don't think that pulling it up and finding substantial issue would result in any changes to the project from what was approved by the city. There are no impacts to coastal resources. In terms of gaining approval for the installation within this driveway, AT&T will have the responsibility to assure that everything they do is legal and properly authorized by whoever has interest in that driveway. And again, we don't think that's something that the commission needs to be involved in. So we recommend that you find no substantial issue on this item.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Wiesel?
Yes, I move that the commission determine that appeal number A-6-ENC-08-035 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Recommend a yes vote.
It's been moved by Commissioner Wiesel and seconded by Commissioner Juan. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the finding of no substantial issue in the adoption of the resolutions and findings. Commissioner Wiesel, would you like to speak to your motion? Commissioner Juan.
Just a quick comment to the homeowners who are here. I recognize you're probably frustrated about this, but the commission's jurisdiction is in a very small area, and within our jurisdiction, there really are no Coastal Act issues. The issues that I can see here are may be connected with the project and the project location and site, but that's not our jurisdiction. So I want you to understand why the commission is voting no substantial issue.
Thank you, Commissioner Juan. Anyone else? Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously finds that appeal number A6-ENC-08-35 does not present a substantial issue. We'll go to 10C.
And for item 10C, A6-OCB-0861, the presentation will be made by Lorinda Owens of the San Diego office.
Good morning. The proposed project is an appeal of the City of San Diego approved coastal development permit to demolish two one-story duplexes and construct two attached multifamily units.
Can I make an announcement here, because just before you get going, ma'am, and that is that we have a lot of speaker slips on that, and this is where staff, again, is recommending no substantial issue. And again, unless you were at the local hearing, you're not eligible to participate in the discussion on this in the public meeting, and we only provide 3 minutes per side. So in a substantial issue question where staff is recommending no substantial issue. So you need to discuss amongst yourself who's gonna use up that 3 minutes, because I have many speaker slips and you're only allowed 3 minutes. So you might wanna plan that as the staff is making their presentation. Okay? Go ahead. I apologize for breaking into your presentation.
The appellants contend that the proposed project is inconsistent with the geologic setback requirements from the bluff edge and that it will block views to the ocean. Staff is recommending that the appellant's contentions raise no substantial issue. With regard to the appellant's first concern addressing the geologic setback requirements, the commission acknowledges that the unprotected site is subject to erosion from waves. In any case, both the city's geotechnical engineers as well as the commission staff geologist have reviewed all of the geotechnical information for this project and have found that the proposed 40-foot structural setback with a small cantilever feature will be safe for the 75-year economic lifespan of the structure. If you will refer to exhibit number 6 in the addendum, as shown in plate number 1, the 40-foot structural setback is behind the 1.5 factor of safety line. Although not marked on the plate, the cantilever portion extends west to the factor of safety line according to the technical reports. The site will have about 25 feet of erosion during this time period. When you then add the 1.5 factor of safety, it is estimated that a structural setback 32 to 34 feet from the bluff edge will be safe for 75 years. That's contrary to the appellant's contentions. The structure will not be hanging over the bluff edge in that time frame. The commission geologist has found that a 40-foot structural setback line is adequate and that the structure will be safe for 75 years. Thus, the city made the correct decision in approving the project as being consistent with the certified LCP because the proposed development will be set back at a distance that is found to be safe during its economic lifespan. It will not require the construction of a seawall. And as required by the LCP, the city required that the applicant waive all rights to future shoreline or bluff protection. In a supplemental letter contained in the addendum, the appellant asserts that because the seawall once existed on the site in the 1970s, that a reduced geologic setback, in particular the cantilever feature, should not be permitted. Regardless whether a seawall existed on the site in the past or not, the site has been rendered safe for development. Also, the appellant has indicated that the basement wall functions as a seawall, which is inconsistent with a certified LCP. However, the commission's geologist has indicated the western basement wall will not be subject to marine erosion for more than 75 years and that it will not function as a seawall during that time period. With regard to the appellant's second concern addressing potential public view blockage, although it is true that an ocean view that can be seen from a north-south running alley looking south will be blocked by the proposed development, this is not a view corridor, nor is it identified as a potential view corridor in the future update to the Ocean Beach Community Plan. The city did require that the more typical view corridors that run in an east-west direction along the development's side yard setbacks be protected and open to public views, as those are the kinds of views that provide the more panoramic views to the ocean. Presently, the view in the north yard is blocked by a solid fence that will be removed through the proposed redevelopment. This will enhance views to the ocean. The city also deed restricted the side yards consistent with the certified LCP. As such, the proposed development will not impact views to the ocean. In summary, the proposed development is consistent with the certified LCP. It will be compatible in size, scale, and design with other residential development in the area, and in its proposed location, will be safe for 75 years without the need for shoreline protection. None of the appellant's contentions raise issues of regional or statewide significance, and the proposed development, as approved by the city, will not result in any impacts to coastal resources. Therefore, staff recommends that the commission find that no substantial issue exists with respect to the grounds on which the appeal was filed. This concludes the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your presentation. Ex-parties, starting on my left. Any ex-parties? None from the commission? Okay, with that, I'll open the public hearing. And this time, because staff has recommended no substantial issue, we'll go to the appellants first. Appellant. And I think that's Mr. Jeff Page. Mr. Page, you understand the idea that your side will be allowed 3 minutes. Are you going to take the 3 minutes, or are you going to split it up with somebody? Or
Jeffrey Russell, appellant on the project. In consideration of the fact that many of us have traveled very far to be here today, is there any possible chance that you grant us an extra 2 minutes just for me so I can go 5 minutes?
We'll do that. We'll do that in light of that. So you'll get 5 minutes? Yeah. And, but what's your name?
Jeffrey Russell.
Jeffrey Russell.
Did you fill out a slip?
I did.
Okay. I found it in here, buried in here. You just said you're opposed to the project.
Say you were the appellant.
Okay.
Are you the appellant?
Mr. Russell, what's important here also, did you appear at the local...
I did.
Action? Okay, then you're eligible. So you're going to take two minutes, is that it? And then somebody else is going to take three from this whole side?
I'm in 5 minutes, and if I have any extra time at the end of the 5 minutes, I'd reserve that for the other one of the other speakers.
Okay, and that includes this whole group that is here today for on your side of the action that is in favor of the project, is that correct?
We're opposed to the project and in
opposed
favor
to the project,
of substantial issues.
That are opposed.
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Russell. We'll start the clock at 5 minutes.
Is Daniel Smith in there?
Is Daniel Smith in there, too? He's in that 5 minutes. Mr. Russell, before you get started, Daniel Smith is in your 5 minutes. He's another appellant.
I think Daniel Smith is the project applicant.
Thank you, Commissioner Schallenberger, for that good input.
Passing that.
You want to give a good source, right?
Okay.
She passes.
All right. This isn't.
Commission.
This is the incorrect slideshow.
So. Okay, we won't start the time until you get it up.
Mine is the one PowerPoint.
And because we're giving you 5 minutes, we will, to be fair, we will give the applicant 5 minutes too.
Okay.
So, with.
No, it just says Pescadero Project on the cover slide. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. I think we're all set here. Promise to do this as quickly as I can in the interest of time and understand that you guys have had a very long week here in San Diego. Good morning, Chairman Kruer and members of the Coastal Commission. My name is Jeffrey Russell. I am the appellant in this action. I'm speaking on behalf of a number of neighbors, if you guys would raise your hands. I'm a former resident of the neighborhood. People in this audience are current and former neighbors. I just want to make it clear from the outset, we're not here about view blockage. We're not here about financial stakes. I have nothing to gain except for a deep caring about this site. This is Ocean Beach in 1972. The project site is actually the only site with a seawall. In 1972, there was a triangular structure on the edge of the bluff. Flash forward to 2006. A lot has changed. The beach is gone. There's rock revetment up and down the coast. And the house that used to exist with the seawall is gone. This is one of the most sensitive bluffs in the entire state of California. Ocean Beach is losing bluff every single winter due to winter storms. And because of the seawall protection that's gone up as a result of that, because of the seawalls that have gone up, we've lost a beautiful beach that once existed. This is a close-up of the site. This is the bluff. And you can see portions of the old seawall littered all over the beach. This piece right here is actually the base of the former seawall. This is a seawall to the north that is already being eroded behind by storm action. Another perspective, you can see the base of the old seawall that was undermined in 1993 by the El Nino, and waves are constantly pummeling the bluff. Another close-up showing seawall remnant. This is the site's bluff. This is the site to the north. Bluff erosion rate. The applicant's own report said that 16 to 20 feet was lost over a 23-year period. That equates to 0.7 to 0.9 feet per year. That's over a 23-year period. Aggressive rate, in his own report, 8 to 10 feet lost between 2000 and 2006. Now, the report was prepared in 2006. We've actually lost 2 feet since then, and that equates to a 1.3 to 1.7 feet per year of bluff loss. A 1976 Army Corps bluff stability report prepared for the entire Sunset Cliffs region determined that the bluff edge will undermine the existing structures on the site in 50 years from then, which is 2026. Project site's right here. You can't really see it well, but it's in my letter. Bluff edge in 2026 would actually undermine the outermost structure, and that happened when the building fell into the ocean in 1993. Previous bluff failures. 1993 El Nino storm undermined the seawall in the detached home. The home was condemned. The seawall went in. And you can see where that old seawall was and where the current bluff is. That's 15 to 20 feet of bluff recision since that seawall went down in 1993. That equates to an erosion rate of 1.3 feet per year. Here's another perspective looking south. This is the site. This is where the house used to be, the seawall. They've had to build a number of fences. This one was built in 1993. This fence was built in 1999. And then this is the most recent fence, 2007. Every time pieces of this bluff fall, the fence is set back. And just one block to the north, Pescadero Avenue is losing bluff to the ocean every single winter. This actual project was in the paper earlier this year because of the bluff erosion issues that it raised. LCP requires a minimum 40-foot setback unless you can prove that the bluff is stable. Then it allows a 25-foot setback. The presence of a seawall automatically disqualifies a setback because that's evidence of bluff instability. What they're proposing here is not only the 25-foot setback, but a subterranean garage. I think Lorenda said that the staff determined they're going to lose between 32 and 34 feet. The building is going to be cantilevered, if you can see that. 32 to 34 feet would actually put the beach underneath this house. Within at least 32 to 34 years, this house is going to stick out over the ocean like a diving board. So what you're essentially doing here today, if you don't find a substantial issue, is granting this project air rights over a public beach and ocean that will be there within a matter of years. 32 to 34, maybe 50, but well before the 75-year lifespan of the project. We're here today because we care about this beach, and there have been so many mistakes in the past in Ocean Beach and buildings that are built too close to the bluff. This is your opportunity to reverse the trend and require a proper setback for this project so that someday in the future, maybe not for me but for my kids, we can get this beach back. If you have any questions, I'm available. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your comments. And that'll take care of the appellant's time. And so that will go to the applicant, and I see Mr. Peterson is walking up. And Mr. Peterson, the people that are here, and you represent the applicant, and your other people have put in speaker slips in favor of the project, how are you going to allot the 5 minutes?
Hopefully I'll use less than 5 minutes.
Okay.
And I'll do the whole presentation.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Kruer and members of the Coastal Commission. My name is Matthew Peterson with the law firm Peterson Price. My offices are located at 655 West Broadway on the 16th floor. I'm representing Dan Smith and Michael Taylor, and I think we again have the wrong PowerPoint up. It was the first one that came up, so if we could switch that, stop the clock maybe.
Sir, could you stop the clock?
We'll stop the clock.
Thank you, sir. While they're doing that, this project has been through a 3-year local review process. It was approved by the community planning group. It was approved by the planning commission. It was approved by the city council on appeal. And it has been reviewed and approved by our geologist, the city of San Diego geologist, Dr. Mark Johnson, who is an incredibly smart and talented individual who works for you. They've all reviewed this and reviewed the geologic reports and have concluded that...
You could say that again because I haven't heard you say that before.
Dr. Mark Johnson, can we stop the clock?
We're going to remember that when you come back up again.
Yes, for future litigation, we will make note of that.
Now, we did work with your staff to design a project that would comply with what the Coastal Commission requires in terms of setbacks. Now, that is greater than what the City of San Diego Certified LCP requires, so we did go a step beyond what the city would require in this particular case. What you have here really is a disgruntled previous tenant, her friend, who's a resident of San Francisco, and a couple neighbors who are going to lose some private views. And that's really what it's all about. There is nothing in that you've heard today or received today that is anything new that the city hasn't already reviewed and addressed over the past 3 years of processing. So what I have is a little PowerPoint here. This is the existing structure on site. It's rather dilapidated. This is a artist rendering of what the new project will be. And this is a view looking straight down on it, so you can see its relation to the adjacent three-story building here and two-story building here. And here is the coastal bluff plotted on there, the 25 and the 40-foot setback. And you can see the opponents live up the alley looking through and across the site here. Again, here's the opponents, two-story houses. They enjoy views of their upper levels across the site, and obviously with my client's two-story home, they're going to lose some private views. This is an important photograph. Here is that Point Loma formation, 10 to 12 feet of solid, stable formation at the base of this somewhat erodible slope. You can see over here the Coastal Commission has approved permits for a seawall. On the south, Coastal Commission has approved emergency permits for this protection. There's seawalls all up and down this coast, but my client's property has none, and the opponents insisted that my client not have one, so we agreed to waive that right to future shoreline protection. This shows, again, the 25 and 40-foot setbacks. All of the structural elements are landward of the 40-foot setback. The city-certified LCP requires that they be landward of the 25-foot setback, and my clients have gone the extra 15 feet back in setting back the foundation and footing system for the proposed duplex. This is kind of a cross-section. The ocean's way down here. You've got some beach here. You've got that 10 to 12 feet of solid Point Loma formation, and then you have this erodible material. From here over, this is all City of San Diego property. So from the top of the bluff west is all City of San Diego property, and we wouldn't ever be affecting that city property or public beach in any way. This is a view looking west from Pescador Drive, which is the alley and street access. This is the site here. This is that large two-story home on the right. And this is going to be the new public views created by the project as you're looking down the street. Again, the neighboring structures, you've got large two-story, large three-story. Look how close these structures are to the bluff. Our client's home and duplex will be further away from the coastal bluff than any of the adjacent properties, and therefore it meets the geologic setback and meets the string line requirements of this commission. Again, the house to the duplex and complex to the north, the one to the south, and then this is also the one to the south, more views. The one on the right is one of the opponent's homes, another opponent home there up the alley, and then surrounding development. So again, this project has been through an exhaustive process. You hear the appellant render opinions. He does not have training. He's not a licensed geologist. He's not a licensed engineer. His opinions are just that. He did not even hire a geologist coastal engineer. And yet we've hired Dr. Richard Seymour. We've hired our own geologist, city geologist, and, of course, famous Dr. Mark Johnson, one of the greatest geologists in the world, has agreed with the staff recommendation. So we would ask you to deny the appeal and uphold the find no substantial issue. And if you have any questions, we did bring our geologists and other consultants with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. And with that, I'll close the public hearing and go back to staff.
Thank you, Chairman Kruger. Just briefly, with regard to the amount of review that Dr. Johnson was able to give this project, he was basically able to give the same level of review that he would give to the project if we found substantial issue and heard it on de novo. And I don't believe that his conclusions would be any different. We haven't identified that anything approved by the city is inconsistent with the certified LCP. They have included a waiver of future shoreline protection devices on as part of the conditions of approval, which are consistent with the LCP, and therefore we recommend that you find no substantial issue.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your presentation, and Commissioner Wesel.
I move that the Commission determine that Appeal Number A-6-OCB-08-61 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Wesel and seconded by Commissioner Burke. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the finding of no substantial issue and the adoption of the following resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Do you wish to speak to your motion, Commissioner Wesel?
I'll just state briefly that I think the staff got it right, and one of the key issues is whether the erosion would ever reach the structure within 75 years, and I think there's substantial evidence that shows that it wouldn't. The property, as designed, is set back from the bluff at a distance that would protect it in those years. In addition to that, there are some other elements of the bluff that extend far beyond the end of this particular parcel that also shelter this bluff from erosion. So it's a special position that it holds that protects the property from erosion.
Thank you, Commissioner Weisel. Commissioner Burke, do you want to speak to your second? You just want to speak. Okay. I know that. Thank you, gentlemen. Is there anyone else? If not, is there any problem with is there any objection to anyone objecting to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this matter? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously finds appeal number A-6-OCB-08-61 does not present a substantial issue with the respect to the grounds on which this appeal has been filed under 30603 of the Coastal Act regarding consistency with the certified CLP and or the public access and recreation policies of the Coastal Act. So with that, we'll go to... We're not done yet because we have a public comment period, and we have a few speakers on that. We have three. Mr. Brad Gross can come up.
And Mr. Chairman, as he's coming forward, let me just note for the benefit of commissioners and anyone who's been looking at our agenda, on the last page of the agenda, page 17, it indicates that the next meeting of the commission will be September 13th through 15th. That's incorrect. It's actually September 10th through 12th. So please don't show up on the 13th.
And we're looking forward to a nice meeting up there in lovely Eureka. And I'm sure Absolutely. It'll be hosted very nicely by Vice Chairman Neely.
Yes.
And
Looking forward to it.
I'm sure the commission will support the staff recommendations in Eureka.
Thank you. And hopefully by then we'll hear the news whether our esteemed Deputy Attorney General's book has rashed up on the Amazon.com and because of our plug this morning. Okay. With that, we'll go to public comment period. Mr. Gross, you have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Chairman Kerr and Commissioners. I'm Brad Gross, the Director of OC Dana Point Harbor. I was before this commission a few months ago when I first introduced myself. At that meeting, I let you know I was a new director of a relatively new department. I'm happy to say now I have 11 months under my belt. I'm here today to let you know how committed Dana Point Harbor is to ensuring that we do things correctly, involve the public, and in a few months support the City of Dana Point and their LCPA, which will eventually allow the county to embark on our revitalization project of Dana Point Harbor that balances the needs of all the users of our regional facility. I'd like to address some comments made yesterday regarding the Catalina Express dock located in the harbor. It was recently brought to my department's attention that this dock was renovated a number of years ago and may have been completed without proper approvals and permits by the Coastal Commission. What I do know, and I'm still gathering information, is there was a number of hearings held with the Commission between the years of 2000 and 2002 regarding the proposed Catalina Express dock renovation project. It appears that in May 2002, the Commission adopted the findings and recommendations found in staff report TU-24 Alpha dated April 2002 regarding this dock. This joint application by Catalina Express and the County of Orange concluded 3 years prior to the formation of OC Dana Point Harbor Department. According to the report, there were three special conditions imposed by the Commission related to this project, one of them an annual parking monitoring report. Until recently brought to our attention, my department was not aware of these conditions. As I understand today, and I will continue to work to clarify, the permit in question was never issued. The proposed dock was not large, therefore these conditions may have not been enacted. As I said earlier, OCDPH is a relatively new department within the County of Orange, and our core focus is the day-to-day operations of the facility and the upcoming revitalization project. Up until the creation of our standalone harbor department, the harbor was managed as part of a much larger department with a much broader span of attention. While this is not an excuse for the situation, I did want you to understand these circumstances. My department has been reviewing the situation, and we have not been able to locate any additional documents related to this permit or meeting this special condition. We would like to request that my department be allowed to work with Coastal Commission staff to better understand what transpired related to this project. We would like to return to this commission at the next local hearing to present our understanding of the situation. As my department delves into these types of investigations, there may be other situations that are discovered, and we will correct them. I would respectfully request that any members of the public who may be listening to my comments today, please bring these issues to me first. We truly are committed to correcting these items. We know we can't find them all, and we encourage the investigative public to give us a chance to show that commitment. In closing, I'd like to personally like to reassure you that both the County of Orange and my department, OC Dana Point Harbor, will resolve this matter. We will continue to work cooperatively with the Commission, and we thank you for your patience and understanding as we work through these issues. Thank you.
Well, thank you for those comments. Staff, do you have any comments to those that were just stated by Mr. Gross?
Not really. We will be looking into, I think the next speaker will be addressing the same issue, and we'll be looking into the status of the Dana Point Harbor in connection with an LCP amendment that's pending for us right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the next speaker, and I'm sorry, I can't read the writing, Greg Bonbar or Banbar? Yes, sir, 3 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, commissioners, I'm here to, called me last night and said there may be some
questions.
What's
your name for the record, sir?
Sorry. Greg Bombard, President, Catalina Channel Express, operate out of Dana Point, San Pedro, and Long Beach. I came down as at Brad's request last night. He called and said there may be some questions as to our operation in Dana Point, the project that we had talked about going forward with, and any other questions that you may have on our operation and the question of a reporting process. So actually what I'm here to do is answer any questions you may have about the project that was never ever moved forward on at this point.
Sir, thank you for coming down, and if we have some questions, we'll call you back up then.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, sir. Bruce Heyman. Three minutes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I guess I have the dubious distinction of being last, so I'll make it quick. Honorable
least.
Chairman, commissioners, and staff, thank you for the opportunity to address you on this great day. I am Bruce Heyman, president of the Dana Point Boaters Association. Earlier this year, the Dana Point Boaters Association worked over several months with your staff in the Long Beach office going through hundreds of documents so that we can prepare competent input on the Dana Point Commercial Expansion Local Coastal Program Amendment. During that process, we found many things that have changed in our harbor that, since it was constructed, unfortunately many of them without the benefit of the public process required by the Coastal Act and Commission rules. After our testimony yesterday, we participated in a very exciting conversation with Executive Director Peter Douglas and our Harbor Director, Brad Gross. Mr. Gross stated that they have nothing to hide and that they want to correct the violations. With Mr. Gross's first year anniversary only 7 weeks away, we find yesterday's change of heart refreshing. For some time now, we've heard from various officials that they can't deal with all the issues left by their predecessors. While some of the violations are very fresh, we are hopeful that all changes from now on will include the public process prescribed by law. In our harbor, it would be hard not to know about some of the violations. Perhaps the best example is when half of a boat slip finger was given to a broker who promptly ripped out dozens of smaller affordable slips and replaced them with six of the largest slips in our harbor. The Commission never had the opportunity to review that required CDP, as no one ever bothered to apply for it. In addition to this unpermitted slip loss, OC Dana Point Harbor has known about the parking deficiencies, and as we just heard from Brad, we're very pleased to hear that we're going to hear more information on them at the next meeting. That's excellent news. The Dana Point Boaters Association would like to thank the Commission for making this refreshing change of heart possible. Without the work you all do every day and the hours that you sit in those chairs and the hours you spend poring through documents and the hours that you spend listening to very well-written and superbly delivered speeches like this one, We would never have gotten to that wonderful conversation we had yesterday afternoon with Mr. Gross and Executive Peter Douglas. With our Coastal Commission resources so heavily burdened, wouldn't it be nice to see the county correcting all of the existing violations without requiring mass quantities of due process? We look forward to helping to create that reality. Thank you. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you for your kind comments, and we appreciate that. But Commissioner Burke had something you wanted to add.
Commissioner Wan and I met the other night with your harbor master and the harbor master at Marina Del Rey, and both of them, from my assessment so far, is that they're both trying to come together and do the right thing. And Commissioner Wan and myself have agreed to go down next week and meet with the people at Marina Del Rey. And if we need to go to Dana Harbor, I guess we'll go to Dana Harbor.
Oh, we'd always welcome to see your smiling faces. And you know, on that comment, I think I use an analogy of when you're raising teenagers, the first thing is always to get them to say the right thing, and then the next thing is to hope that they will do the right thing that they just said. And I'm certainly not implying that our harbor directors are teenagers. Nothing of that. They're very experienced individuals.
Or Commissioner Burke.
Or Commissioner Burke. Or
no, we'd love
Commissioner
Wise.
But I will say it's very refreshing to now be hearing the right words, and I'm going to remain from Missouri and wait to see the actual happening.
I think this is a very good beginning. I'm really happy to hear that you're going to be meeting with each other and talking to each other, and hopefully if we can do anything to facilitate that process, we'll be happy to do that. I think there is a certain amount of miscommunications, and you've got a new guy here who wants to do the right thing, so hopefully between the two of you and our staff getting information from you. And as I pointed out yesterday, the more that you guys can do, the less work our staff has to do. That'll make us all happy.
Without a doubt.
Thank you, sir. And the last word will be this meeting's over with. Thank you.